Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Once again, pay your tolls. You may have left early. You may have counted them out. The Brewers were down to their final strike. Christian Yelich, the bloop. Jackson Churio, the blast. Garrett Mitchell, the arm. And Luis Lara, the hero. What a game. The Brewers off the deck. Down 3-1 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Christian Yelich comes off the bench to pinch hit for Cooper Pratt. He falls behind 0-2. Works the count full. Base hit. You're still alive. The next batter, Jackson Churio, fouls off the first pitch changeup. Breaks his bat on the pitch. Gets a new one. Pick a winner, Bobby. Found it. Liner. Left field. Homer. Knew it was gone the moment it left the bat. Tie game 3-3. Brewers keep a zero on the board thanks to some great defense in the 10th. And then in the bottom half, the Brewers load the bases after an intentional walk to William Contreras with one out. Sal blooped a single into left to load him. And Lara finished it on what a day for the crew. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. If you want to call, if you want to text, if you want to come with us today, because this was an all-timer. I joke about this every chance we get, Craig. It feels like that Dodgers series last year. They can't all be games of the year, right? And back-to-back days with dramatics and theatrics and down to your last strike wins, man. I am out of words. I joke that I blacked out during this game. Just a high-quality baseball game, top to bottom, two playoff-caliber teams going to the very end.
Dude, I'm giddy. I'm giggling. All of those things right now. It's just really amazing what we've witnessed, not just the last two games, but think about this, just in less than 48 hours, what we've witnessed from this club, what we've witnessed from this series between these two teams. And we weren't kidding yesterday when we were finishing our portion of the post-game show yesterday, Dom, that these two teams are like headed for a postseason, you know, series collision in some form or fashion. This is just a warm up. And to me, you have got to be kidding me if this is just a warm up of what we could potentially see for what's on the line to take that next step in the postseason in October. Just amazing.
I want to sit for a moment and stew on the fact that the two kids, you know, yesterday Lara and Churio make the game-ending catches, right? Lara up against the wall, Churio sliding catch in left field as well. He loves these moments. We've talked about that over and over about Churio. And then once again for them to do it today in different fashions, right? Churio, he reaches base in 4 out of 5 plate appearances with two soft hit balls, a double that was misplayed by Suzuki, and then a line shot homer. Meanwhile, Lara, offensively, probably had his worst game as a big leaguer. Bounced to a double play in the second inning. Should have bounced into another double play in the third inning if it wasn't for an error on Michael Busch. Strikes out looking twice. Burns a challenge. Strikes out looking with, you know, a go-ahead run in scoring position to end the eighth inning. But this game just finds a way to repay you and give you another shot. And mind you, both of those kids signed extensions before their big league debuts. They're playing confident. They're playing free. They're playing like the Brewers imagined it could go for them. And what they do in these last two games against their rival Chicago Cubs I don't want to say like they put the team on their back, because this was a team effort top to bottom. But what I saw today from Lara in that conversation we saw with Pat Murphy and him and Nestor Corridor, who deserves credit as well for what he's been doing with his Venezuelan youngsters. It's an amazing team win, and Lara is a great picture of it all as somebody that had a brutal game at the plate, but still found a way to get the job done in the final moments of this contest.
Well, the great thing about baseball is all those plate opportunities you get, and usually get obviously between 3 and 4 on a normal day. And if you can deliver one time just one time, especially in the fashion that we're seeing some of these young guys do it at key moments. This is why the Brewers knew they were worth the money. And it's just not even those contracts and those players we're talking about. You know, top to bottom, these guys are picking each other up. They're doing them. I mean, look at Sal Frelick tonight. Comes in first at bat, a tough situation, and bloops that single. Same with Yelich. Two straight games. This guy's been around forever, but he delivers. And the whole thing with Lara, too. I mean, this guy made a big catch yesterday. Obviously, we remember that. But then, you know, the very next day to come through with that huge hit here today, first pitch, his manager's talking to him like you're saying, like, this is storybook stuff. But it's for the Brewers, it's not just a story. It's just a, you know, it's just the next paragraph in a chapter for them, because they've got big plans. They've had a big season here so far, and there's big things yet to come. It's just, you know, for me at this point, it's 90 victories already. This tremendously huge lead right now in the division. The fact that they're 2 years in a row, the best team in baseball record wise, gosh, truthfully, Dom, who knows what is going to happen here before October ends?
I think also to double down on Churio for a second, and to watch that at bat again, I just did again, and to watch him come into the plate there in the ninth inning with two outs, down by two. I mean, by no means are you expected to hit a homer there. By no means. But there was an energy, there was a sort of air in the building of, man, Churio's coming to play. He's going to do one thing and one thing only and swing out of his shoes. And he was a little early on that first pitch changeup from Webb. Webb's a changeup specialist. That's what he likes to throw. And even on right, he broke his bat on it, so I don't blame him for wanting to go back to it. But at the same time, you kind of didn't get the chance to play with his speed. You didn't get the chance to mess with him because Churio knew he was going to get a changeup. It was fat. He lines it out to left field. But I think the best part about Churio's homer was not just him walking up to the plate, literally singing his walk-up song as he's coming to the plate. Like, he's nodding his head and just mouthing the words to the walk-up song. But the big smile he had on his face rounding second base. Like, yeah, I expected to do this. Like, yeah, it's no big deal. I'm having fun playing baseball. It's having fun to win these big, loud moments. And he literally said it yesterday. I want to be in these moments. We've seen the track record in the postseason. He hits another level. Tonight, he hits another level. The adrenaline flows is what he told the media earlier today, that my game goes to another level. It is such a rare trait. Craig, you have been covering athletes for a long enough time to know not many guys mean it when they say they want the smoke. They want the moment. And Jackson Churio, I mean, I'll throw it out there. It's a Ryan Braun aura of, that's the guy you want up at the plate because you know he's going to come through and he knows he's going to come through.
Well, it's interesting that you just set the table for me perfectly here, because I'm thinking along the line of three Brewer players that I've covered. And you think about this as going all the way back to Robin Yount. Robin Yount had a confidence, that first confidence, I think, that I was able to witness as a younger kid, a younger teenager, a guy that's breaking into this business in my 20s out of college, and he's still playing. That confidence that when you come to the plate, you should expect big things. When you come to the plate in a moment that says it's big, you should present and come through with big things. Then I covered Ryan Braun. And early in his career, I remember a conversation I had with him, and I just said, you almost seem cocky sometimes when you come up to the plate. You almost seem cocky when you have a big moment. And he said, if I didn't feel cocky, I'd be letting myself down because I have that much confidence in myself. And it's not being cocky in someone else's definition. I have to think that I am going to be this good. And I'm telling you, Jackson Churio has that same confidence and cockiness. And it's all in a positive light. You have to understand what I'm saying. It's all in a positive light. It's what they believe they can do. And so we got Yount, we got Braun, and we got Churio. And I'm telling you, I covered all three. I still am with Churio. And these guys are in a special, special league. Trust me.
Postseason numbers, by the way, for Jackson Churio in his three postseasons that he's played in, or I should say two postseasons, three rounds that he's played in. He is 15 for 44. That is a .341 batting average. He's got seven extra base hits for a .1044 OPS in his career in the postseason. Believe it, he means it. He wants the smoke. He wants the light as bright as possible on him. He's not going to come through every time. But the point is, he is confident, he is ready, he is not scared of the moment. He had the perfect amount of energy, the perfect temperature, in the words of Pat Murphy, he's described it before about him, to be able to rise to the moment that it called for. We're getting a bunch of texts, we're getting a bunch of chats over on the YouTube side. Of course, it's a big game, it's a big one over the Cubs. Everybody wants to have a piece of it. So 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. Churio and Lara were stars, but also the future Cy Young Award winner pitching this game, and he pitched like it. We'll talk about Miz coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is here too. 855-616-1620. Levi from Stevens Point. Man, oh man, these Brewers are the comeback kids. They always find a way to win games when they trail. Jack is totally an absolute superstar with that homer. Lara might be my favorite Brewers player right now. I love this team. This one from the 608. What a game. Rewatched the Lara hit a few times. Best part about that highlight is Sal Frelick jumping for joy for his teammate, the teammate he's competing for playing time with, the epitome of Brewers baseball, being selfless. This was another text as well from the 563, also mentioning that Sal being a leader for being the first to celebrate that. Let's touch on that real quick, Greg. I've said this before on the show, but I'll repeat it here for the audience who hasn't heard it. Sal Frelick is a guy that has told me, there are only two things I care about being known for as a baseball player. Number one, did I play hard? And number two, was I a good teammate? And that was a perfect example. He gets a bloop single coming off the bench. He was pinch running for Gary late in this game. He's not starting all that much lately. He was injured. He's come back. And there he is on second base, sprinting Luis Lara. It may not sound like a big deal. I know some people are probably rolling their eyes at that. I promise you, to have clubhouse guys like that, to understand, to be an energy giver, I think Sal Frelick is the top of that list in this current clubhouse that are energy givers for the Brewers.
Well, I mean, that's clearly why this guy has been so important to this organization the last several years. I mean, just what he brings. Look, I mean, look at his at bat today. It was vintage Sal Frelick. He seldom hits the ball hard, but he usually hits the ball where nobody can find it and catch it. And that kept that inning going. And I think, you know, it, as far as being the best teammate or one of the best teammates or making yourself, you know, putting that high in your category, I think you can throw Joey Ortiz into that mix as well.
Absolutely.
When Cooper Pratt was called up, you know, guess what? You're not playing shortstop anymore. You're going over to third base, and you're probably going to be platooned over there. You might get some terms. I mean, all these guys have to accept a lot of things. Andrew Vaughn, same thing. After his injury on opening day, came back, and he's like, you know what? Bowers is playing well. Guess what? You're not going to play every day over at first base anymore. All these guys have to accept something along the line, and this organization's done a great job at just saying it takes 26. Whoever's putting on the uniform today, all 26 of you, it's going to take 26. And that to me just makes this team so much more enjoyable to watch, because that's why this team is in a game, innings 1 through 9, and especially at the end, you cannot turn the TV off, you cannot leave the game early, because they're not going to be done fighting yet until the final out.
I mean, five of the nine in the bullpen were, or not even nine, I should say eight. Five of the eight in the bullpen were used today. All but Bo Naylor were used off the bench today. This was a team win to the definition. Now, shifting gears. Jacob Mizorowski pitched in this game, and we've done this a few times where he's happened to pitch some of the crazier comebacks or some of the great games of the year. In Miz today, I thought he pitched phenomenally, especially going back-to-back starts against the best offense in baseball. Works into the seventh inning, just four hits, one run, back in the first inning, two walks, nine strikeouts. He grinded. He was out of gas in that seventh inning. You could tell he was down to 97 miles an hour. Murph squeezed one more batter out of him, and it was huge for them to get out of that seventh inning without a run on the board. But Miz quieted the critics once again today with a 1.95 ERA, leading baseball still. Now that margin has gotten tighter, but he's still leading baseball in strikeouts with 236 strikeouts this season. Opponent batting average is still .156. I mean, the numbers are simply ridiculous right now for Miz. What a great rebound for him. Again, to do back-to-back starts against any team, and then you throw in the fact that it's the Cubs and it's the energy that this rivalry has, what a great moment for Miz to grow up fast on the mound today.
Yeah, growing up fast is so accurate in saying, because look, he had maybe his worst game of the season the last time out, and it was against Chicago. He gave up five runs in that game, which was a season high. Just wasn't himself. Maybe weather had something to do with that. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is. But in five starts against the Cubs coming into tonight, his ERA against that team was 4.13. Those aren't Miz-type numbers at all. But this kid is learning fast. He's learning how quickly you have to forget about things in baseball and how much you have to just say, I'm confident in what I'm doing. And I think the start from last week to tonight, we clearly saw that. He gave up a first inning run, and I'm sure a lot of Brewer fans at that time were going, boy, man, what's going on? Here we go again. We're down 1-0 with the Miz on the mound against the Cubs again. What's going on? And it was shutdown mode for him after that. Got himself into a little trouble, got himself out of some trouble as well. The fact that he pitched into the seventh inning, in my book, I was just simply amazed. But I saw, Miz has been kind of in a neutral zone for the last several starts a little bit. And I'm sure if you're watching every game, you know what I mean by that. But today, I felt like he is maybe in ramp-up mode number one as we wind up September and get ready for October. What we saw today was far more playoff caliber, what you would expect out of this guy.
I mean, he's still touching 103, 104 in the first inning right now. So when we're talking about, oh, you got to worry about his innings, you got to worry, is he healthy, all this, all the stuff we hear after, when he's sitting 101 on a road mound that he hasn't pitched in before, the dude's healthy. It's amazing what he's done to his body to be available to be this good that he is right now. He's got another start next Tuesday in Pittsburgh. Then he'll probably start Sunday in Baltimore to get him back on that 5-day. Maybe they push him back once again because the Brewers then have another off day. He could pitch in back-to-back Tuesday or three straight Tuesdays here to close out the regular season. I wonder what the Brewers are thinking. Does he have three more starts with, you go Tuesday, Tuesday, short start Sunday? Or do you just have him go on that 5-day as soon as possible where he could have three starts and he'll go Tuesday, Sunday, Saturday to get him on time for a game one? Because Miz is ready to go. I mean, today was a day that I'm good. I've seen everything I need to see out of Miz. He is my Cy Young Award winner. I do not think it is a doubt. I do not think it is a debate. If he is not the Cy Young Award winner, I mean, something has gone wrong in these final three starts, because it is his award as we stand here on September 8th.
Yeah, no question about that. And I also bring up this point, Dom, and I'm curious if you picked up on this tonight as well. But, my opinion, a second opinion of his start here today, too, was I felt like he saved his velo for the big batters in that Cubs lineup from the first inning on. I thought PCA, Suzuki, Bregman, I mean, those guys saw Miz's best velo, and I felt almost like he was saving it up for those guys and ramped it down a little bit because he knows what he's got to go 99, 100, 101 against some of the other key hitters in the lineup. I don't know if you picked up on that a little bit, or maybe I'm just dreaming on that, but I feel like that's also kind of a key point to how elite pitchers finish up a regular season like he has had, and then the elite pitchers get ready for the playoffs.
The slowest four-seam fastball that Pete Crow Armstrong saw today was 101.0. He got up to 103.7, and until that single through the right side on a really good pitch on a curveball below the zone on 0-2 that PCA just prayed and was out in front and was able to keep his hands back just long enough to pull it through the right side, that was the first time he's ever got a hit, regular or postseason, off of Jacob Mizorowski. You're right. I mean, we saw 104.5 again today. We saw a couple of 103s. We saw 15 pitches, 102 or higher. I think that for Miz, for him to be rolling the way he is, to have that confidence again on this mound. Now, his next two starts will likely be on the road. So are the mounds going to be an issue? He won't be pitching in October in Pittsburgh, but he could be pitching in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So that's something to monitor if they want to pitch him there, if they want to pitch him in Baltimore. So something to keep in mind for that. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. I know we just wrapped up Labor Day. The furnace might be the last thing on your mind, but fall will be here before you know it. Schedule your furnace tune-up with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Call or visit SEIDER.com today. Families helping families since 1912. He wasn't the only guy that pitched in today's game. He pitched great, 6 1/3 with 9 punch. Talk about the bullpen. Talk about the other underrated things about this contest as the Brewers win. Get to some texts, get to some calls. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Craig Kishon and Dominic Catronio with you. Brewers keep on rolling. Jeff from Elkhorn, if this is how the playoffs are going to be, I will need the EMTs on speed dial. Murph understands relationships. That's why he is the best manager in baseball. Awesome that they pick up Trevor McGill. Need to figure out ABS challenges before the playoffs. This one, slow down the Jack home run and play the Moneyball music. That's some chills. Love that one as well. Chris in Nashville, you instantly added yesterday's game to the games of the year. Was today's better? It might be, Chris. It really might be. Alex from Oshkosh, this team, man, wow. First team to 90 wins in franchise history. Fastest, I should say. Incredible. Adam in Gainesville, Florida. Hall picks up McGill. No 10th inning without Yelly's single before Churio's homer. And Mitchell's throw. Oh, my goodness. Laura comes up huge. Amazing. I mean, a lot there. I mean, this has been there's so many things. I could probably go for 2 hours of everything in my notebook from this game tonight, Craig, because I don't know if we're going to get another chance to talk about it. Garrett Mitchell's throw. I mean, that was an inauspicious moment where leading off the top of the 10th inning, Seiya Suzuki, who's a fine runner. He's not fast, but he's not slow. He's on second base. Bregman hits a fly ball. It's a moderate depth left center field. And that's an aggressive tag, but also you don't expect the center fielder to have the best arm in the outfield. And Garrett Mitchell took nothing for granted, heard the tag call coming from the infield, comes up throwing to third, perfect seed, 95 miles an hour, and kudos to David Hamilton, fresh into the game, holding the tag on Suzuki as he overslides the bag. I think he got him initially, but then he definitely got him when he overslid third base. What a throw from Garrett, always ready, sneaky, probably the best arm in the outfield for the Brewers right now, and he's your center fielder.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned three things on defense in one play. First of all, it's the communication, and it was there to Mitchell. And then he does have a cannon. So to me, you know, that's a risky tag right there. That's in extra innings is not totally necessary, but they took a chance on that. But you're taking a chance on a guy who's got a cannon. And then Hamilton, you know, here's what I love about Hamilton. We've kind of been on him the last couple of days, right?
Yeah.
But he's made some big defensive plays still this year when he's been in there. And we've also seen guys that holding a tag is not a natural thing to do. And we've seen a lot, especially out at second base on a stolen base attempt. It's just not a overly natural thing to do, but for him to do it right there and it to make the difference in that out call by the umpire was absolutely everything. So you put all three of those things together, it just goes to show you how important defense is for this team and what it takes to make one out on one single play like that. To me, I just love that stuff.
I think the Brewers know the margins and the details. I mean, these are the two, in my opinion, the numbers sort of back this up, but by the eye test, these are the two best defenses in baseball to me. I mean, I can't imagine there's anyone better. I mean, there were some plays that Joey Ortiz made tonight that are just ridiculous. And even though they had the misplay there in the ninth inning with McGill, and we'll get to McGill in a moment too, but Mitchell being able to throw out a runner there at the plate. Lara covers everything in right field after the catches he made yesterday. So many little things that go into the Brewers hanging on to win this game. Let's talk about the good, though, in the bullpen. Then we'll get to Trevor McGill because, look, this bullpen is taxed. They continue to be worked hard, even though Miz pitched into the seventh inning. An extra inning game is the last thing you want to see when a bullpen's running out of gas. Chad did not have his best stuff today. He got the strikeout, then he hit a batter with two strikes, hit another batter, and he gets lifted. Ashby faces one pitch. Man, I was hoping, though, Craig, that the Brewers were going to get the lead there in the bottom of the seventh inning to give Ashby an all-time vulture, just a one-pitch win. Sensatella was quietly super important in today's game. I think that the bridge bullpen, when this game was still 1-1, I know they only recorded five outs, but in a 1-1 game, one blink and everything changes.
Yeah, it does, and, you know, look, everyone's not going to be perfect every single night, but I think as a whole here, the key pitches were made, you know, the outs were made. But I think just looking at tonight, I think it was huge just to say Sensatella had a 1-2-3 eighth inning. I think it was absolutely huge for him. He hasn't had the smoothest transition over to this ball club, but I think things are settling down for him very well. And guess what else? You know, McGill isn't completely the shutdown guy that he was up until, even the last game. And this stuff is going to happen. You can't expect perfection out of every one of these guys, especially your closer, every single time he goes out there right now. So just to have these things kind of hold into place and to have D.L. Hall do what he did in those final two innings as well, this is what it takes to say, yeah, we have a closer, but we have closing guys that can group this thing together, especially in a 1-1 game that's going in extra innings like this. It's just absolutely critical as we head to the postseason.
Yeah, and it's also not lost on me that the Brewers are doing nothing against the Cubs bullpen today after they did all their work against the Cubs bullpen in yesterday's game. Also, D.L. Hall is in that camp too. And mind you, Hall was going to come back out if there was an 11th inning. There was nobody up in that bullpen for the Brewers that Hall was just going to keep on going until the arm fell off, really, because I don't think they wanted to go to Brandon Sproat. And clearly they were saving Abner Uribe. You may be wondering, well, why don't you just go to Uribe earlier? Well, you're using all your leverage today. Ashby's not going to be available today. Tomorrow, I should say. McGill's not going to be available tomorrow. You can have Sensatella going a back-to-back, but he threw on Sunday as well. That would be 3 out of 4 for him. Patrick's not going to throw tomorrow. So if you're in a leverage opportunity, you at least have one guy you can go to, and that being Abner Uribe. So let's shift gears, though. Trevor McGill, back-to-back days with some stress in the ninth inning. We had been giving him so much praise, and it's time for the Brewers to pick him up. Kudos. He gives up two runs in back-to-back. Gave up a run yesterday, two runs today. Not all of it was his fault, though. I think the infield hit, when the miscommunication with Pratt and Ortiz, that was a big moment in this one. He hung a curveball to Nico Hoerner, who shoots it the other way. Tip your cap. But to have first and second, nobody out, for a split moment, I thought he was going to get out of it when Shaw didn't get the bunt down. So he gets the first out. McGill's not a guy that gets ground balls. Okay, so ground ball double play was not really in the realm of opportunity. But man, that burn challenge by Luis Lara in the sixth inning loomed large in the ninth when Contreras wasn't able to challenge Michael Conforto's walk. That's two outs, runners on first and second, and maybe you go to the bottom of the 10th, and then an eight-pitch battle with pinch hitter Carson Kelly ultimately gave the Cubs a lead. But you sit there and it gets hard. He's allowed to be human if anybody is, but McGill just finally had a day where the tire went flat, and recover and regroup for the weekend.
But it also shows, Dom, too, how important like the burn challenge was. So you don't have that working in your favor, and you can't rely on the umpires in that situation. But guess what? We're in an era of baseball where you have to rely on those challenges at times, and so you didn't have it then. But those things have helped him up until now. Same with that infield hit, little confusion with the defense behind him. Most games, that doesn't happen. Those plays are made. So things kind of came together a little bit, especially today on him. I think yesterday was just the hard contact, obviously. But tonight it was, you know, some of those little things we're talking about. But that's how it is in this game. Game to game, things are going to be completely different for a closer. And then, you know, the next time round, he's gonna strike out the side because he's capable of doing that. So the last couple of games clearly have not gone his way. I certainly wouldn't say the guy's in a slump here right now at all. I'm just saying the guy can't be absolutely perfect like we've seen this run that McGill's been on over the last couple of months.
I think that we talked about it last week when Miz had the clunker against these Cubs, and it was time for the Brewers to pick him up, given how much he's picked them up. So now it felt like the rest of the bullpen and the Brewers picked up McGill, given how many times he's saved them this season. It's a thankless job back there in the back end of the bullpen. It's not a blown save. It's just, you know, a no decision because he entered the game tied. And then for them to get to Jacob Webb was sort of the irony of it. That's now three consecutive blown saves for Jacob Webb and Craig Counsell's club. The other underrated thing about today's game that I think is easy to lose sight of, Bryce Terang today. I mean, Bryce Terang, yes, he flied out to end the ninth inning, but otherwise on base in the previous four plate appearances, and all four of those plate appearances came against left-handed pitching. That's a small little detail that needs to be noted. Going to the opposite field, finding the strike zone discipline. He didn't swing and miss against any of those lefties today. Small thing. It'll hopefully grow into something bigger for Bryce because he's going to face a lot of lefties in October.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he is getting, you know, like it or not, and certainly not by his order on the menu, he is getting tested, and he's getting served up. But this guy's also delivering here right now, too. So, again, such a key time of the season. You can't predict when you get opportunities to get ready for the playoffs and just say, you know what? Yes, this is the regular season, and yes, we're in a pennant chase, and yes, this is all, you know, competitive great stuff here right now. But sometimes you have to make it individual. And I think Bryce is passing so many tests here right now that's going to pay off for the postseason. Like you're saying, Dom, there's no question about it.
I think there's just so many. Again, I can go for on and on and on. I got to get you out of here, Craig. You've been great as always. Man, I just love games like this because there's so much good to pull from it. Like even Garrett throwing out that runner despite going 0-for-4 at the plate with a 108 mile an hour line out in his last at bat. Right? I mean, like you always can bring something to help the team to the table, and just about everybody did in today's game. Just a really fun day to be at the yard. And oh, by the way, the magic number for the Central falls to 7, and the magic number for a playoff spot falls to 3, keeping an eye on San Diego. If San Diego, they just won, so it stays at 3 for the playoff berth. But, I mean, we're talking about a champagne toast by the end of this homestand for the Brewers to officially have clinched the playoffs again at some point, whether it comes – it can't come tomorrow, but it could come over the weekend against Cincinnati.
Man, that would be something, wouldn't it? And I'll bring an extra glass. I'm ready for a sip. But who would have predicted it, you know, really it at this point of the season? I mean, this is crazy stuff. We're still in the single digit days of September, Dom.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't here for it, Craig, but I know that there are a lot of experienced Brewers fans from the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s that are sitting here going, they just won their 90th game on September 8th, and what they would have done to hear that sentence in some of those dark years. It's just sometimes put it in perspective, man. This is the greatest era of Milwaukee Brewers baseball ever.
Well, it is, man. And you know, I've been around in all those, and I remember, you know, when the Brewers started turning things around as a franchise in the late 1970s, when, you know, when they had George Bamberger there as their manager and whatnot, Bambi's Bombers, and you know, and they hit the 90 win plateau. I mean, we're all thinking at that time, my God, if they've got 90 wins, they're going to win the World Series. Sometimes they didn't even make the playoffs back then, but getting 90 was so special by the end of the regular season. And the way the Brewers franchise has gone about this the last several years, that they have reached this mark this quickly in the month of September, is pretty amazing. And folks, don't take that stuff for granted, because it is so difficult to do over the period of time we're talking about. All the off-season moves, the off-season planning, you show up for spring training on Valentine's Day, mid-February, and look where we're sitting right now. We're not even done with the regular season, let alone bring on October, Dom.
I love it. Craig Kishon joining us on WTMJ. Thanks so much, Craig.
All right, Dom, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, that's our little buy or sell, talking about just the golden era that is the Brewers right now. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com, rather, WendorfTeam.com. No KW, just WendorfTeam.com. Muscle memory kicked in there. Way behind on text. Got some chats as well. Keep on rolling here. Brewers win 4-3 in 10 over the Cubs on 620 WTMJ. Fun night at the yard. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a night. Thanks, everybody, interacting. Brewers get the victory today by a 4-3 final score. If you're still here, if you're still hanging out, remember, we're here after most shows, most games. We'll have a show tomorrow as well for Brewers extra innings. We have a show all weekend long against the Reds, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then off day again on Monday. Night games in Pittsburgh on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have shows for those. Then if you miss any of them, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Want to get to a few texts here as well. We're also going to hear from DL Hall. He caught up with Josh Maurer on the postgame show as well. A few texts that I've rolled through here. Caleb from Appleton. Churio is going to cement himself in October lore this year. Book it. That kid has the clutch gene that we haven't seen since Ryan Braun. This one from the 414. Gentlemen, I'm a lucky person who gets to work a decent amount of home games. Being one of the pyro guys, shout out to you. I'm scared of heights. I can't be that. I get to see the game from an absolutely incredible view from the roof of American Family Field. Tonight was absolutely electric. Another game just goes to prove you can never count this team out. They seem to find a way in the most impossible situations. Let's take it to the playoffs. A few other ones as well. Hunter from Green Bay. What a shot from Churio. What a pitching performance. What do you think Murph told Luis Lara before his at-bat and with Nestor Corridor? So he talked about it with Tim Dillard on the postgame on television, saying, Murph reminded me, he believes in me. He knows I can get this job done. Stay within myself. Have confidence. And he said, do you think you can get it done? And Lara, of course, responded, yes. And he did. He just don't waste any time. Even with a five-man infield, no big deal to him. Just dump a single into left. Brandon from Waukesha. That home run from Churio reminded me of the Braun-Yelich combo from a few years back. Let's get greedy tomorrow. From the 5-6-3, top two defense in baseball. We got a Gold Glover and Sal Frelick playing 2 to 4 times a week with how good Luis Lara has been. You're absolutely right. Best defense, potentially. It's them or the Cubs, and the Cubs statistically are the best defense in baseball, but the Brewers are no slouchy either. Aaron in Chicago, I've been listening since 85, but I'm here for the race to 100. Let's avoid the September slump and stay healthy. All that matters dearly for the Brewers right now. When it comes to health, when it comes to what they need heading into October, you know, when you look ahead here, if the playoffs started tomorrow, now that San Diego has won, LA's up on a 3-2 lead right now. They're heading to the bottom of the eighth inning against Cincinnati right now. So let's go ahead and give the Dodgers a win there. So if the playoffs started tomorrow, the Brewers would be the one seed. Now the Dodgers are the two seed. currently, assuming they win, the Brewers would be a game and a half separated between the two of them. But remember, the Brewers have the tiebreaker head-to-head. LA's schedule is very easy down the stretch. Atlanta has now fallen to that third seed. They've lost back-to-back games. They lost today against the Tampa Bay Rays. So Atlanta will be matched up with the last team in, which is currently the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they're just buoyed by Corbin Burns returning. He started today, a shortened start because of his recovery from Tommy John surgery and a lat strain, so he pitched today. San Diego remains a half game back, and I'll remind everybody, Arizona and San Diego play the final three games of the regular season, and the tiebreaker is on the line. It will come down to the final day of the year for who's the last team in. And with the Brewers win, so Chicago loses, and Philly wins today again. Philly was victorious Philly lost today. They were coming back in the ninth against Hader, but they lost 6-5. But Philly remains ahead of the Cubs by a half game. Obviously, it won't be a half game at the end of the year, but keep that in mind. Right now, Philly is hosting that best of three with Chicago, but the Cubs hold the tiebreaker. So we're going to remind you of that all the way to the end of the year. Let's give out a player of the game before we hear from DL Hall. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into the rest of the season in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Now, the obvious picks, Churio and Miz, right? So let's go in the non-Churio and Miz category. They get it, like no questions asked. If I wanted to give it to anybody that wasn't one of those guys, honestly, you may think I'm crazy. DL Hall, to make sure nothing else scored, with PCA coming up there in the top of the ninth inning, right? That was huge, to get two outs when he needed it, and then through a scoreless 10th inning. He deserves some love for that as well, which is why we're going to hear from him with Josh Maurer earlier on the postgame show. DL Hall and Josh here on WTMJ.
DL Hall is on with us here at the outset of the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel postgame show. DL, man, what a night. Thank you so much for coming on to talk with us first and foremost.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. That was a crazy game. Still a lot of energy flowing. So
I can imagine. We were just playing that double play. Garrett Mitchell throwing to David Hamilton there for the first two outs in the top of the 10th inning. As you watched that play, take me through your emotions.
Yeah, when I went to back up third, I knew G. Mitch had a shot at throwing him out. I thought that he was going to throw him out before the bag. I knew G. Mitch had a good arm. I was watching the line of the throw. I knew it was on the money. Didn't know if it was going to beat him when the runner got there. And you know, it's just doing the little things right. D-Ham, a heads-up play there, holding the tag on him. I mean, it's just a huge second out. It's incredible that the guys were that locked in, you know, to just do the small things right. G. Mitch making a perfect throw. I can't say enough about my defense.
And then let me take you back. You would get the final out in the 10th, and you get the victory. But I think what will be overlooked, DL, is what you did in the ninth inning to keep the team within two runs. When you're coming in, there had just been that go-ahead double from Carson Kelly. It's 3-1 Chicago, and it's still runners on at second and third. And you got to face PCA. You struck him out. You then got Suzuki to fly out. When you came into the game in that spot, it was actually kind of after a deflating moment. How did you keep your kind of focus and execution where it needed to be for those two huge outs?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, just kind of something the bullpens live by all year is hold the line. You know, whether we're winning, losing, tied, wherever it's at when you go in that ball game, first and foremost, hold the line and give our guys a chance to, you know, score some runs and bring us back. And that was kind of all that was in my head. You know, you try and drown out everything else. Go there and do your job and hold the line and give those guys a chance to do exactly what they just did.
Brewers win it 4-3 in 10. Exhilarating innings tonight over the Cubs. DL Hall is on with us. After you got those two outs in the top of the ninth inning, you're still trailing 3-1. And then there's two out in the bottom of the ninth. Christian Yelich is down 0-2. I'm sure they told you, hey, if we go to the 10th inning, you're still out there. So you have to remain focused, but be honest with me. Probably didn't feel like at that moment there was going to be a 10th inning, did it?
Yeah. You know, it's they let me know as soon as I got in the dugout, hey, stay locked in. You're in there if we tie it up. And, it's kind of the same thing, just try and stay where you're at, stay in a clear headspace, and just see what happens. You know, it's relaxing till it's not. You know, you sit there and you let the guys do what they do and see what happens. And, well, you know, we ended up on the good side of it. So, I mean, I was more than ready to get another inning.
What was it like in that dugout when Jackson Churio connected for the tying home run?
To be honest, he hit it so hard we didn't even have much time to you didn't really have much time to watch it, but there was a lot of energy, obviously. Went crazy. I think my blood pressure probably shot up a little bit, kind of with excitement. You know, I get the chance to go out there and do something pretty cool for a job, and there's nothing more fun than going out there and doing that, especially when you're on the good side of it.
You know, extra innings, you've gotten a couple of wins in them recently. There was one against the Twins. That was a great game, and this one tonight. I don't think there's anything harder to do in baseball these days as a pitcher than get a scoreless extra inning, because you got that automatic runner starting at second base. How do you deal with that, DL? You've been very good at it, obviously.
Yeah, I think it just, it comes with all of our guys in the bullpen, kind of the same thing I said, just holding the line and, kind of not paying attention to the runner on second, but just kind of focusing on your job at the plate. And, as long as you execute pitches, then, just kind of see what happens from there. I feel like my focus was where it needed to be. And it's just like, go out there, make pitches, and see where you end up after the third out.
Well, you did such a great job tonight. Where, if you could try, and I know it's in the immediacy right after the game ended, but the thing I was talking about right when we came on the air here for the postgame show, it felt like this was certainly one of the wins of the year for this team. How does this rank for you?
Oh, man. I mean, it ranks up there. You know, we've had so many games that, I mean, our team, it just says a lot about our team. Our guys never give up. Nobody ever gives in, no matter what the score is, no matter how hard we get punched. That's something that I, try and live by, off the field as well. And I think that all of our guys kind of have that personality to, we're not going to back down from a fight. If we get hit, we're going to bounce back and we're going to come back swinging. And, that's kind of just what we did. I think it ranks pretty high, but I think it's kind of become normal for us. And I think that that's what we expect. It's what we expect out of ourselves. But yeah, I mean, exciting. I think that we're going to win a lot more exciting games. So.
Yeah, that's DL Hall for you, man. And they love it, man. The bullpen is so much fun out there. Before we hear from Pat Murphy on the other side of the break, let's get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620. Let's get to Bodie in Waukesha. Bodie, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, how you been tonight?
Good. How are you, man?
We're doing better after this win. Thank you for taking my call. This is honestly one of my few times calling in, and boy, was it a good one tonight. It was a pitching duel all throughout. It was a very low scoring affair, which is what I like. That's old fashioned baseball, which is something that I've always really liked. But right after I was celebrating that win, I found a tweet on Twitter that said,
"Oh no! I think the connection's a little rough there, Bodie, but I appreciate it. And you know what? I don't think that story was going to end how we wanted it to end. So let's hear from Pat Murphy on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Man, I'm still having adrenaline flow right now. This is nuts. It's 11:30. How am I going to sleep? I caddy tomorrow morning. How am I going to sleep? Jeez. I'm worried. Highlights coming up in a little bit. Brewers win 4-3 in 10. I'm Dominic Catronio. Whew, what a night. Win or lose, Murph always gives it to you straight. And around here, that's something old-fashioned roofing believes in, too. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built, where handshake still matters. The Pat Murphy post-game press conference is presented by old-fashioned roofing. You know what? Today was a day that I think Murph reminded everybody why. He's the back-to-back manager of the year. And his opening statement summed it all up.
All right. Was that good?
Murph, was that kind of your team? In a nutshell?
It's our team, I feel like, if I trust them. I've said it all year, I trust them. And you just think back to some of the key moments. I can mention so many of them at the end, but you just think back at key moments of Yelich, 0-2, two outs, fans are leaving. Understandable, right? You want to beat the traffic or whatever. I don't know. anyway, so he just stays on a ball, line drive. Cheerio, what can you say? You know, and we've seen that all from him all too much, but in the clutch, homer, still a tie game. DL Hall, underrated what he's done for our team in the last 3 weeks. Mitchell's throw, Hamilton's tag on that, you know, and then Lara comes up big. You know, that's just special, you know. Hamilton to keep the tag on him, little things. Now, we made some junior mistakes before that, you know. But again, you know, hung in there and resilient. That's just kind of what you'd love to be part of. Trusting your team and believing in they'll keep coming back. And maybe they had Lara had four miserable ABs and came back and got the winning hit at the clutch time. You know, Mitchell had three terrible ABs and then hits a bolt to center field and throws a guy out. You know, Ortiz's defense tonight, and you know, there's just so many great things. Terang's game, left on left, and he hadn't had the same year left on left, but those at bats, incredible. So, yeah.
You talked about what Cheerio does in the clutch, we all have, but it seems this particular opponent, too, he seems to save a lot of his best performance. What does it say about him that he kind of seems to relish the rivalry?
Yeah, he knows he's a great player, and he knows what he's about. He loves it. You know, he loves it and stays after it, believes in himself. You know, he knows how capable he is. And when he's in that right, you know, he's got that dial on the right speed, oof, careful. And we've seen it all too much in his first 3 years.
Mark, what did you tell Lara before that at-bat?
Nothing great. You know, that's, you know, I don't think that's much of a thing. I was just trying to, you know, get him to take the emotions out of it and, you know, just have a kind of a clear head. And, you know.
What does that mean to you?
It's not about you. It's about the ball club right here. The ball club needs you to stay level-headed. Yeah. I don't think that had any difference in the at-bat.
What did it mean to you, though, and those guys when he did go up there and delivered after you had that conversation?
Again, I don't think the conversation had anything to do with it. I think it's just, Lara cares about his teammates and he wants to be accepted and he's a young player. He knows that and he wants to be accepted and he wants to do good for the team. And when he's doing bad, it's not just about, God, I challenged when I shouldn't have for the 10th time. You know what I mean? It's not a forte of his right now. He's proven that. I think he doesn't understand that we only get two and we're out of them. I don't think he understands the rule. But I think he's 0 for 10. Is that
2 for 7.
Huh?
2 for 7.
Is he 2 for 7? Guys were saying he was 0 for 10. That's how they remember it. But, he cares. When you come into the environment here, you care about the team. You know that's the deal. You care about the team. Some days it's going to be you. Some days it's somebody else. So, just proud of him that he's picking up on that.
Mm-hmm. Murph, how do you consider taking a challenge away, like telling a guy you can't challenge, given how it impacted your club in the end there?
Yeah, I think I would let him know that we're going to put a little rein on him, you know, whereas other guys should. Vaughn, for instance, should challenge more. It's hard. It's a hard thing, you know.
Kind of gets lost what Miz gave you.
That's exactly right. I thought he was even good in the first inning. I think he made a couple bad choices, but I think he was good in the first inning. And even though we gave up a run, but he was really good after that and established himself. You know, Ashby gets the big out. Senzatella has a big inning, and DL Hall. What can you say? I mean, he was fabulous.
Was it always going to be just one hitter for Miz in the setup?
He was out of gas, and we were just looking at it. Yeah, he was definitely coming out after the first hitter, even if he got him out.
All right. I mean, you heard Miz worked into the seventh inning today. Huge. Huge for the Brewers. Didn't plan on going to extras, but they got the dub. That's all that matters. So, let's relive it. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
What a day at the yard. Great matchup, rivalry once again. Jacob Mizorowski against David Peterson. Game two of this final three-game set of the year. This one started out fast. All the concerns about Miz running out of gas.
Here's the 0-2 pitch to Carl Armstrong. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That was at 104. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And the old Miz is back to the mound for the Brewers.
Three pitches to strike out Pete Carl Armstrong to start the game. But Seiya Suzuki continues to rake against Miz. He would line a double and then come in to score on a two-strike, two-out single by Michael Busch. So the Cubs open the scoring in the top of the first against Miz, but the Brewers respond. Bottom of the first, a leadoff double for Churio, and Terang got himself into a hitter's count.
2-0 pitch, and it's lined into left, a base hit. Churio had to hold for a moment. He's going to be set to round third. The throw goes to second. It's an RBI single for Bryce Terang, and we're all tied one apiece. That didn't take long.
Well, it would stay 1-1 for long. Both of these pitchers would settle in from there. Miz at one point retired 11 in a row. The Brewers had a threat brewing in both the fourth and the fifth innings, but the big one came in the fifth. With one out, Churio singled into left field, then Terang walked. That would chase Peterson from this game. Andrew Vaughn was pulled for Jake Bowers. However, he would strike out. So with two outs, Contreras up right on right against Trent Thornton, which was one of the bigger moments of the game that's lost to history.
1-0 pitch to Contreras. Line drive, base hit, right field. Around third, Churio. The throw home is all the way through, and out is the call at home. Churio went wide and tried to sneak his hand in there. And we'll see if the Brewers challenge the play at the plate. Pat Murphy holding things up, waiting, and they will not challenge. Suzuki comes up with the throw. Churio had it beat.
He had it beat if he slid head first. The feet first slide had him out. So the game remained 1-1. At the top of the sixth, the one-out walk suddenly had some wobbling for Miz. The bullpen was getting active, but no problem. He's got a great defense behind him.
Corner, ground ball, second base, double play ball. 4-6-3, double play. Terang to Pratt to Bowers, and Mizorowski is through six. Platinum Glover to Pratt, who could win a gold glove at some point in his career.
It was smooth. It was no big deal. The bullpen had things under control mostly for the seventh and eighth innings, but McGill in the ninth ran into trouble. Back-to-back singles opened the frame. Then a strikeout to Matt Shaw, and he walked Michael Conforto to load the bases for Carson Kelly, who lined a double to right center field. Ouch. 3-1 Cubs. You go to the bottom of the ninth. The Brewers have the bottom third of the order due. Ortiz struck out against Jacob Webb. Mitchell lined out on a screamer to center. Then Christian Yelich comes off the bench to hit for Pratt. He fell behind 0-2, and with the Brewers down to their final strike, with a 3-2 count, Yelich bloops a single into right. All you need is the bloop and the blast.
Here's the 0-1 pitch. Drive to left! We are tied! I guess it was the right bat. That ball was obliterated. A changeup on the inside corner. And Jackson Churio hits number 22 to tie this thing up 3-3 in the ninth.
That's why you got to be convicted with those right-on-right changeups, kids. So this game would go to extras in immediate action in the top of the 10th from more defense.
Ball kicks, delivers, and a fly ball into left center field for playable. Back on it is Mitchell. He'll make the catch, tagging from second on his way to third is Suzuki. Here's the tag. Oh, they got it! They cut down Suzuki at third. What a throw from Mitchell.
What a tag by David Hamilton, who took the throw and put a sweeping tag on Suzuki as he was sliding into third. Oh, what a big moment in this game.
It would be a zero in the top of the 10th. The Brewers only need one in the bottom half. Terang, the placed runner. Bowers would strike out. Contreras would be intentionally walked. First and second, one out. Frelick, who came in the game off the bench, bloops a single to left, but a stop sign for Terang around third. Bases loaded. Lara's 0-for-4 with a double play and two strikeouts to this point. But the game is all about redemption.
And it down the left field line. That's a base hit. The Brewers walk off the Cubs, and they win this series here in Milwaukee. The kid gets it done here tonight. Luis Lara. A walk-off single. The magic number down to 7, and the Brewers win it 4-3.
What a night. What a night for the crew. Another series win. The lead is 9. Not that that matters. The magic number, as you heard, is to 7. First in baseball to 90 wins. How about it? Brewers win. We'll preview tomorrow and say goodnight after this on 620 WTMJ. All right, I got a minute left. Brewers win. How the heck am I going to go to sleep now? Seriously. All right. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods, if you want to relive this one, you may see a Game of the Year countdown later between the end of the regular season and the playoffs that might feature this game very prominently. We shall see. Same time, same place tomorrow, 6:40, first pitch. We're on the air at 6:05 with the On Deck Show built by Menards. Logan Henderson, his second consecutive start and his second consecutive matchup with Kevin Gausman. On the other side, Brewers looking for the sweep. They've won 8 of the 12 against the Cubs this year, looking to make it 9 of 13. It could be a blast tomorrow. So again, night game and then an off day on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening. Big thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And until then, keep on swinging.